Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellmead, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Afrida Love, and today we have a very special guest, but first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for just blessing us to wake up this morning, Lord, and starting us on our way, Heavenly Father. We're asking would you bless each guest who come on the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry. We ask you would you bless their gifts, their families, and everything about them, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for divine recoveries. We thank you for the ministry, the platform, Lord, and we're just asking would this ministry be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And the scripture for today is from Psalms 116:1, and it reads, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplications. I have read to you Psalms 116:1. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And today I am excited and delighted to introduce to you a man of God, the father of four children, with two of them being twins, a gospel artist, poet, and writer. I would like to introduce to some and present to others Mr. J. Arrington. Mr. Arrington, are you on the line?
Oh, yes, I am, Frida. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you a few questions concerning your ministry through writing and song.
Okay.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your ministry and poetry, how it began?
Well, first of all, Frida, again, thank you for having me and giving all honor and glory to God. I'm glad to be among the living to be able to do this with you today. And basically, I imagine when I look back on it, I've been writing since I learned how to write, I guess. And, of course, you know, as a young man, you know, you do poetry here and there. You go through those periods. And I stopped doing poetry when I was in my 20s. But then in 1999, I was the victim of a violent crime. I was stabbed through my heart. And basically died, really. and of course, the Lord blessed me. And in the midst of the night, he said, the angels that roll with me won't let nobody get me. So he saved me when my life wasn't right, you know. And after I recovered, well, I really have never recovered, but after I got out of the hospital, I got on my knees one night and I asked the Lord. I said, why did you keep me here? I said, because at the time I was a car salesman. I did that for about 30 years. And I said, I just don't believe it was just to sell cars. And I said, whatever it is you wanted me to do, you want me to do, I want you to reveal it to me. So I went to bed that night, and before daybreak, I woke up and I started writing poetry. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, I started with the traditional, you know, militant poetry, the love poetry, things like that. Ended up going back into the church and, you know, started to get into the Bible again. And once I started getting into scripture again, I transitioned from to traditional poetry into basic writing prayers based on scripture, poetry based mm-hmm. on scripture. And then from there, I met a gentleman named Christopher Barnes, who wrote the song Heartbeat. If I don't know if you remember that song, Heartbeat, you make mm-hmm. me feel so weak. Remember that song? When he wrote that, he was reading my poetry one day, and he says, oh, man, you write beautiful poetry. If you can write poetry, you can write songs. And I know I knew I sang a little bit, so I asked the Lord. I said, if there's a song in me, you know, bring it out of me. So I ended up writing songs, and that was about, I wrote my first song in 2001, And I've been writing ever since. And I, you know, like I feel, you know, my ministry, my music is a ministry. My words are a ministry. My, you know, I'm not akin to, you know, I used to be probably among the many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who said, who wait, you know, say, Lord, if you bless me with a lot of money, then I'll start helping people. But then I began to realize, you know, I don't have to be rich for the Lord to use me. You know, I don't have to have everything I want for him to use me. I just have to have what he wants me to have, you know, because if I wait to have a silver spoon before I eat, I'll probably starve. If I wait to have a crystal glass before I drink, I'll probably die of thirst. So I have to use what I have, you know. So that's my prayer every day is for the Lord to use me where I am with what I have, you know. So that's what he's been doing. So the last 15 years or so, you know, I've been, and I still in some ways are, continue to be a seed in the ground who's pushing his way through. You know, I'm pushing my way through, and I think, you know, probably perhaps the Lord has seen fit for my head to pop through the dirt now, and now perhaps I'll start blooming, you know, so and bear the fruit that he wants me to bear.
Okay, that's good. And I like what you said. I like what you said when you said we're able to use what God has given us. You know, we don't have to be rich, you know, for God to use us. God uses anyone, and that's something that we should bring out in our ministry, because a lot of people say, well, I have to have 1,000 people to preach to. No, you just have to have one. And as long as you're doing it in Jesus' name, then God will bless you, and he will multiply that, just like he did the fish with the 5 loaves of bread.
And that's correct. As a matter of fact, that's one of my favorite sayings I say to people. I say, if you want to know what God can do with 2 fish and 5 loaves, come to my house.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
You know, because, and again, like I said, he said, he gives us instructions. He said, in the parable of the sower, you know, he says, you know, he gives us all of these different scenarios of what might happen if you plant. And all of the things, of course, are not good. Most of them turn out that they're not good things if you plant. But in spite of all of the bad things that can happen, he never tells us not to plant. He doesn't say don't plant because it's going to happen. Although he says, no, you plant, and I'll decide the increase. So that's what I do. I plant, and I plant, and I plant, and I, you know, I try to nurture my gift and study to show myself approved, so when the time comes, I'm ready, you know?
That's right.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. So.
All right. All right, and speaking of being ready, you mentioned a little bit about your experience as a salesman, and tell me how that was able to generate or help, you know, with your outreach and ministry, because I know you have to be able to communicate with people and speak to individuals. So how did that help you?
Well, I don't, you know, if I were to, you know, answer that question in all fairness, I would say it was the other way around, that it was my gift. It was my ministry, it was a ministry before I recognized what it was that I had the gift that helped me in sales, you know. One of the things that I recognized, that I realized, when you're working in the retail business, if you're selling someone else's product, then you're selling something. You're helping somebody.
That's right.
You're helping somebody buy a product. So you're not really... You know, but when I'm doing my own thing, I'm not really selling so much as I'm sharing me. You know, I'm sharing a part of myself. If I'm doing it for somebody else, then I'm selling their product. But when I'm ministering and doing the service with my own products that God has blessed me with and gifts, I feel as though it's a sharing. I'm sharing it. I'm not trying to communicate so much. Well, I'm communicating in a way, but I would say I give away 99% of my things more than I do sell them. So I'm sharing it. You know, I'm sharing it.
Right.
And when you share, see, there's one thing. There's no mistaking something. If people know you've got an apple pie and you tell them and you say this is a peach pie, once they bite into it, they're going to know the difference. You know,
that's right.
And that's the one thing about the word. You can't counterfeit the word. You know, it's either in you and it's true, or you're using it as a lie. And if you're using it as a lie, you may get rich quick, but in the end it brings you down. But if you're telling the truth with the word, most people who use the word genuinely use the word for the purposes of glorifying God, it takes them a long time to be successful financially. You know, because God wants you to be disciplined when he blesses you, as you said in your other program a couple of weeks ago. You have to be ready for the breakthrough. If you get it all at one time, it's just like people who inherit a lot of money. They don't have respect for it because there was no discipline required to achieve it. You know,
that's
so when you achieve things through, when God brings you forth and you bring and he births something in you, you go through the labor pains, you go through the morning sickness, you go through all of those things before you give birth to that baby, you know.
That's
but
when
you finally give birth to that baby, it's yours. It's yours, and you'll die protecting it versus if somebody, if you get it quick to get rich quick schemes and things like that, things that you don't, that don't require any discipline to achieve, are not appreciated. So that's one of the reasons why I say I don't mind. I mean, there are a lot of things that I go through, of course, that I would not like to go through. But at the same time, I recognize that had Jesus taken his eyes off the cross, he wouldn't achieve what he came here for. He didn't want to go, but he knew he had to focus on the on his mission.
That's
sometimes
right.
your mission is unpleasant, you know. But there again, you know, you have to stay focused. You can't see, like I said to you earlier, I liken myself to a seed that's put in the ground. Because if you think about what happens with a seed when you put it in the ground, that root that protrudes forth from the seed is very soft and nimble. You know, it would amaze you. How does that little soft, it's like a noodle. How does that thing push its way through all of that dirt? How does it push its way and survive all the bugs and the roots and everything? It's the same thing with us. We have to push our way through all of these things that come against us when we're trying to become what God wants us to become. But once we pop through that dirt, we still have to go through storms. But once we become what we're supposed to become, we're beautiful. You know, we serve a purpose. And when we're a beautiful flower, he doesn't just look good. You know what a beautiful flower does? He draws things to it. Huh?
That's right. The flower draws
things to it. And when the things come to it, the things come and get what they want from the flower, they take it and they give it to somebody else. They give it to another flower. They give it to another animal or whatever. So everything is perpetuated by the gift that God births in you. But you have to be diligent, you know. You just have to be diligent about it.
That's right. That's right. And we also must remember this. Huh? That's good.
I was saying, but that's why I would say that my sales ability, I was saying, I would flip that. I don't think that my sales. I think it was it's the ministry in me that helped me be successful as a salesperson, because I wouldn't lie to customers. You know, I would always tell them the truth, and I was genuine. And people can tell when you're lying. They'll know if you're not being who you say you are. You know, if I told you I was a fig tree and I never bore figs, how long would it be before you stop believing that I was a fig tree?
Exactly. I know what you mean. And the most important thing, as I was saying before, salvation is always free. So when we talk about anything, you know, selling people to God, the selling point is the word of God. It's not that you have to pay to receive salvation. So that's a good a good point. That's right. Okay.
Amen.
Good. All
right. It's free.
Now, can you tell the listeners a little bit about your experience with singing with a 31-piece orchestra? Wow.
Well, that's a friend of mine who I sing with every fourth Sunday. His name is Ron Foster. He used to have a group back in the 70s called Ecstasy, Passion, and Pain. He's a great musician. I love working with him. But he does, you know, he has an orchestra that he puts together once in a while, and I sing with them. I've sung with them on occasion. The last time I did it with them, I performed a song that I wrote with one of the saxophone players. But it was an amazing experience, because especially for somebody like me, because like I said, over the last, as much as I love instruments, I do believe that the voice is the first instrument God ever created. You know, it's the first the first musical instrument ever heard. So even though I love instruments, I love the voice. I love the voice more. I love harmony, things like that. But singing with that orchestra was an amazing experience because one thing about, and it's true with anything, even with voices, there's no better experience than harmony, everybody being on one accord, you know, the Trinity on one accord, harmony on one accord, loving your fellow man on one accord. Everything in nature that God set up is based on harmony, you know, based on things getting along. I mean, even death is harmonious to creation, you know, because unless something dies, there's no room for something new. So everything is done in harmony. So when I think about the experience with the orchestra, it's the same way I approach my music. I love the harmony. I love the harmony of the instruments and how they came together, how they support one another, and the cues that they take from one another. Because a lot of times, believe it or not, even though every one of those musicians on the stage, they read music, I did not. You know, there's a lot of times when people will ad lib something, and the other guy will pick it up and he'll ad lib it with them, and that's the beauty of having an ear for music. But it was a great experience, and I look forward to doing it again. But as I say, I think I've only got probably 100 songs, and I think maybe 2 of them have music with them. So I'm more accustomed to singing without music, you know, and doing all the musical parts myself, the harmony, I do all of those things. So I like that. I love harmony. I love it.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of music, how is your CD project going, and what message do you convey to the people in your music? And I have one more question to add to that.
Certainly.
Is your music, are you going to sing without music, or how is the CD project going to be?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends. The CD project is a work in progress. In all fairness, again, I work on it according to how God, you know, allows me to work on it. When I'm not, I write songs, and I believe that everything that I write, God wants me to use. But the CD project is coming along slowly, simply because I don't have my own studio. Everything that you'll ever hear me sing on the computer, everything, I have a little studio here at home right where I'm sitting, and I do it all right here in my bedroom, you know. Mm-hmm. I go to a studio once in a while. I work on something. But it's coming along because, when it comes together, it's not going to be what I want. It's going to be what God wants. So, just like anything else, I don't rush it. I don't rush it. I'm not worried about it. I'm writing songs. I'll pick a song, and maybe of the 100 songs that I've already written, none of them will be on the CD. I've got about 4 done so far, but, you know, like I said, nowadays, from what I can understand, and what I see, singles are selling quicker than CDs are, you know? People buy singles and they download them and things like that. So basically, more than anything, that's what I'm concentrating on more than anything right now, just putting out singles, you know, and eventually the CD will come together as a project. But I haven't put it off. I'm just going the route that the Spirit is leading me and showing me the way to go, which I depend on totally.
Okay, that's
good. But as far as the message is concerned, I'm sorry, I forgot all about that. The message that I'm trying to convey, 99% of the songs that I write, Frieda, are based on Scripture, based on experiences that I can relate to Scripture. I can only think now, I wrote a play, a gospel musical a few years ago, and I wrote maybe 7 original songs for it. In that play, there are probably 2 songs that I can say were weren't based on experience, you know. And when I say that, what I mean is this. I write from my personal experience with the Lord. what have I gone mm-hmm. through that I can relate to other people, you know? What mm-hmm. can I write that other people can relate to, you know? I'm not one who writes jumping up and down music. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But my gift mm-hmm. lies in a different genre in gospel, you know? I write optimistic music, you know? Mm-hmm. It's born out of pain, but it's optimistic, you know? Because right. as later on in the show, I'm going to do a poem that's titled The Evidence. And my mm-hmm. life is based on the evidence of what God has done for me. And that's what I write about most of the time. What he's done for me, because, you know, my favorite scripture is John 14:11 says, if you don't believe anything I'm telling you, at least believe the evidence of the things that you've seen me do in your life.
That's
right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. where my songs come from, you know? And then sometimes, like, I have a song called Lest I Forget that's based on Proverbs 30, where the psalmist is asking God, you know, don't give me riches nor poverty. Just give me enough to sustain myself, because if I become rich, I might deny you. And if I'm poor, I will mm-hmm. steal. So just get and take your mm-hmm. name in vain. So just give me what I need. You know, so that's what I ask for. God, give me what I need. Show me what it is
right.
I need. And if you decide that you want me to have anything above what I need, you know, then the
mm-hmm.
prayer is, Give me the grace through wisdom to be a good steward over that which you give me charge. So that's my message. Is, you know, I want people to relate something in their life and say, you know what, I went through that, I understand it, I feel it. And at the end of the day, I was telling Tricia the other day, I said, you know, I'm not looking for people to clap. I'm looking for people
right.
to say hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm looking for
and
people
that's the
to say
praise.
Hallelujah. That's the highest praise.
Right.
Say hallelujah, you know, and let the angels
right.
clap for me, you know. So
that's right.
That's the message, you know. That's the message.
That's right. That's good. Okay. Now, my next question would be that you also have a book project of quotes. What motivational element are you conveying in those quotes within that book?
Provocation. I want people to think when they read it. I want people to think,
uh-huh.
You know, and go, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Or, again, once again, it's something that they can relate to, you know. I posted something today like, don't be just a beautiful cover. Be an excellent read, you know, basically
That's
saying,
right.
you know, don't just walk around here looking good. Have some substance. I don't want to open you up and find a bunch of empty pages. You know, you
That's
look
right.
good on the outside, but on the inside, how's the scripture talks about you're a canker. You got
mm-hmm.
you know, you're a beautiful apple, but you're rotten on the inside.
That's
you know,
right.
so, and I, you know, like another quote of mine says, a promise from man is an intention that might be, a promise from God is a covenant that will be. You know, things like that. And just
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite quotes I got, I was sitting on the couch one day about seven, no, about 9 years ago, and I had a bowl of
mm-hmm.
grapes in my hand, and I love seedless
mm-hmm.
grapes. I had these grapes in my hand in the bowl, and I had, you know, kicked back, going to watch a movie and eat some grapes. So
That's
I put
right.
my hand in the bowl to get these grapes. I pop one in my mouth. I bite into it, and lo and behold, it's full of seeds, and I was angry. I was angry.
Oh.
I mean, really, I was angry. Why? I don't want seeds. I thought this was seedless grapes I had bought. And while I'm going through this conniption, the Holy Spirit says to me, he says, you're a fool, Jay. And I'm like, really? He says, yeah. He says, how many people can put their hand into a harvest and then have a seed to plant? You know?
Right.
And so I was like, yeah. So then I came up with this quote. It says, a selfish man is like a seedless grape. Once he
mm-hmm.
is gone, there's no evidence that he ever existed except the waste.
That's right.
So those are the types of things, you know, like that I you know, try to get over to people in these quotes. Something that's going to add substance to their lives, you know, maybe give them a little laugh here, but something that adds some substance to their lives, something that, you know, can take them somewhere outside of the scope of their normal thinking, you know, and
right.
at the same time be a blessing to them. basically, you know, and act as a guide sometimes. So, because I know I need it sometimes. I read my own things a lot of times when I need to be uplifted. I'll revisit something that I wrote, a song that I wrote, you know, and I'm like, wow, I needed to be ministered with that song today, you know, so, or that quote or that saying. So what, that's what it's all about, ministering.
That's right. That's good. Okay, my next question. Now, you've received many awards. What is your experience with being a feature writer for an online newspaper? And what are you writing about?
Well, that came about, you know, you and I were talking before the show about Facebook, and this actually came about through Facebook some years ago, maybe 3 years ago. One of my Facebook friends down in Texas, where you are, she's in Plano, I think. I am prone to do sometimes, this particular morning I got up and I was just posting poetry and quotes. And later on in that evening, this Facebook friend contacted me and said, you know, I have a nephew down here who's got an online newspaper. He's looking for writers. Would you be interested? So I was like, yeah, you know, it's not a non-paying job, but, you know, he just started. Very nice newspaper. It was a black newspaper, online newspaper. And I began writing for him. Ultimately, though, he folded. But one of my childhood friends, who lives in Maryland, Reginald Kearney, he had seen my writings, and he was beginning an online newspaper, the Maryland Daily Examiner, which I write for now. So he asked me to begin writing for him. So I've been writing for him now going on 2 years. Mostly what I write, we have a poetry corner. We have a lot of things. But mostly what I write news with an opinion nuance to it. You know, I write, you know, I wrote a series. I, you know, I can write about anything I want that I choose to write about, but I do a lot of series writing. I wrote a series about called The Real Ape Story. It's about learned behavior in the urban neighborhoods in the black community. I wrote a series about black women in fashion. I wrote a series about AIDS, healthcare. I do, like I said, I do a lot of political pieces, opinion political pieces. Recently, I've been doing a lot of writing for an advocacy group, working with an advocacy group out in Colorado, a Just Cause, which they work to get to exonerate wrongfully convicted people out of prison. One group in particular, the IRP6, I've been writing articles about them to the in open letters in the newspaper to the Attorney General. Very exciting work. It keeps, you know, if and nothing else, I'm pursuing a degree in communications. I got a degree in business last year. Now I'm pursuing a degree in communications. Yeah, I'm, so it keeps my mind sharp. It keeps me well abreast of current events, which I always try to do because, you know, I love to have fun. I'm a jokester. I'm a prankster. I'm a clown. But at the same time, I'm a very serious person. I'm not one, you know, I'm not the Jerry Springer type guy. Nothing wrong with people who listen to it, but that's not me. You know, I try to focus on something that's going to, you know, fill my coffers. And I don't mean like money-wise, but I'm just saying my mind. You know, something's going to take one. So, because you never know where you're going to end up. You know, you might be called on to talk about anything with anybody one day. You know, and the last thing you want to be is like one of my eighth grade teachers used to tell us in the eighth grade, was an algebra teacher. He used to tell us, Arrington, you don't want to learn, you just want to play. You know, what you going to do one day when you have to talk to somebody? You're going to be there with your mouth hanging open. You know, but I want to be able to converse with people on a lot of different subjects. So, you know, you stay, and that's one of the things that writing for the newspaper allows me to do. It keeps me, like I said, I have to stay abreast of what's going on in current events. So if I want to write about it, I have to know what I'm talking about. You know, it's not a fly. It's not, you know, I can't do it, you know, what, by the seat of my pants.
That's
and it also gives me a chance to voice my opinion and again, offer some guidance to people who are interested in the subjects that we cover. You know, and some insight into the subjects that we cover because, you know, especially in our community, we need, sad to say, we need a lot of work, you know.
Yes.
We still need a lot of work.
And speaking of that, that just came to mind. Right.
Sorry,
speaking of that, I'm going to, when we get off air and sometime this week, I'm going to speak to you because I have an educational subject that I want to address, and it's going to be on dealing with students. But I'll give you more information about that because on my blog talk, I'm going to
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, on my blog talk, I'm going to
Because I work with students. I teach, too. I do that, too. I used to, anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be sure to do that, connect with you later on this week. All right.
Fantastic.
So the next question. Okay. The next question. What are some of your long-term goals within your gifts, such as ministry, poetry, writing? What are your long-term?
Well, my long-term goal is to, in a nutshell, I want to be able to say that I, you know, I don't want to have to go to my grave and having to say that I buried my gifts in the backyard. You know, I have a, one of the things that I realize as, you know, as time goes by, and especially after my injury, and I've had four heart attacks in the last 4 or 5 years, one of the things that I've realized, even with my gifts, especially with my gifts, is that we, just to give you an idea, I have a poem called, title, I'll Meet You There, and the first lines of it says, show me the spot where you lost all your hope, where the hope in your eyes did last gleam. Show me the spot on the road where you spoke the eulogy over your dreams. And that the reason that's based on this, that's based on the scripture where Jesus asked Mary and then, where have you laid Lazarus? Where have you laid him? And so I asked myself, where have I laid my dreams? Because my dreams are not dead. They're just asleep.
That's right.
I'm the one who buried my dreams. And at the end of the day, the Lord is going to say, what did you do with that gift that I gave you? Did you take it, that talent, and bury it in the backyard, like the parable and the talent? Did you bury it? Or did you at least try to do something with it? Even if you blew it, at least you tried to do something with it. But I don't want to have to stand there and say, you know, I buried it in the backyard. You know, I want to be able, I want to be able to show, to have somebody, or at least when I leave, I want there to be some evidence that I existed.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to be that seedless grape. You know, I don't want to be like that seedless grape. I want some evidence that I existed, and I want somebody to be able to say, my long-term goal, even while I'm here on earth, again, of course, you know, I want somebody, now, just like any man, we all want fame. We all want fortune. Who does not want that? But everybody's not meant to have that. Some of us are created for honor. Some of us for dishonor. You know, but it's all about God getting his glory. That's my mission, is that he gets his glory, because he told me. This is not what I said. This is what he told me. He said, my word will not return void unto me until it accomplishes the purpose for which I set it forth.
Amen.
And the hills will break forth for you in singing, and the trees will break forth in you for you in clapping. So if he's given me something to use, then he wants somebody to clap. He wants somebody sing. He wants somebody to break forth, you know. And I don't want to have to stand there and say to him, you know, Lord, hey, you know what? I buried it. You know, I didn't know what to do with it, especially since he brought me back from death. I mean, come on. What's the what better reason should I have other than to want to bring him glory when he brought me back from death?
Right. That's
He didn't bring me back here to sell cars. He didn't bring me back here to, you know, to do all the other things that I was doing. He brought me back here for this gift that I have. You know, and if and even if I have to sit in my bedroom for the next 25 years, and nobody hear it, and I never become famous, I'm not going to stop doing it.
Because you're doing it for the Lord.
Because I'm doing it for him, and somebody's going to be blessed by it, even if it's just the people that I talk to on Facebook. Somebody's going to get a blessing from it. Somebody's going to get blessed because, again, I'm the flower. I want the bee. I want the bird. And I want them to come and take my pollen. And I want them to spread it. I want them to spread it, you know. Somebody's going to talk about the Lord because of what I'm doing. And if I give him his glory, what he say? I'll glorify you. So
that's right.
That's the mission. The mission is to do what he wants me to do, what he asks
that's
me
right.
to do. I know I fall short. I'm not perfect. I'm proud of my flaws, if you want to know the truth, because
mm-hmm.
if it were not for my flaws, I would not have salvation. You know, because our flaws are our salvation. But should we go ahead and sin so that grace may abound? No. God forbid. Just because I know I have salvation doesn't mean I can go out and sin. But I recognize that there's something bigger than me, something more important than me, you know, that I need to do. And I'm not going to be recognized by God until I do what he asked me to do.
Right.
You know, I don't want him to say, depart from me because I never knew you. You know, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You tried.
Right.
You recognize. Right. Cause I don't want him to have to try to kill me again to get my attention.
That's right. I know what you mean. Amen.
I don't want him to have to kill me again to get my attention. He got my attention with
it.
That.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He
I
got
know
my
it.
Attention with
a
that.
Blessing.
Amen.
Right. Now, speaking of getting our attention, give me some examples of your work. Your poetry, as I said before, is wow. It's profound. It's excellent. So can you do you have any examples of your work?
Yeah.
More examples?
I have a poem called The Evidence that I'll read to you. It's based on, again, like I said earlier, based on John 14:11. And I wrote this poem probably 8 years ago. But I wrote it again because, as I said, you know, whenever I get to the point where I feel as though things are not going right and I'm up against something, there's only one thing I need to do. I go look in the mirror, I pull off my shirt, and I look at the scar on my chest. That's
right.
All the evidence I need of who God is, you know? But this poem is based on that. It's called The Evidence. And it goes, they said, Lord, we have no meat. You've forsaken us, we think. We are thirsty from the desert heat. Lord, we need something to drink. They said, Lord, we've just two fish, and between us just five loaves. Oh, Master, how can we with this ever feed 5,000 souls? They said, Lord, our nets are bare. We have no catch this day. We are weary, and our hearts despair. By the sea we've been betrayed. They said, Lord, had you been here, had you not been far away, then, O Lord, our brother dear would be here with us today. They said, Lord, we know not where you go, and they ask him without shame, show us the Father so we may know that our hope is not in vain. And Jesus said, have I not been with you so long a time? Have you not seen me turn water to wine? Have you not seen me give life to the dead? Have I not calmed storms with the words that I've said? Have you not seen me give sight to the blind? Have I not promised to give you what's mine? Have I not created the sand and the sea? Have I not with my hands made even thee? Have I not fed the birds of the air? Have they not lived a life without care? Have I not cleansed the lepers of scars? Have I not aligned the moon and the stars? Have I not mercy on those who have sinned? Have they not been healed just by touching my hem? Have I not returned to mothers their daughters? Have I not in your sight walked on the water? Have I not upon earth created man? Have I not said, command ye my hands? Have I not said, just ask in my name, for I and the Father are one and the same? And he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. There you go.
Wow. That is excellent. I applaud you for that. Or hallelujah.
Amen.
You said you want hallelujah. That's good.
Hallelujah.
All right.
To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Now, is there anything else that you would like to share that has not been shared on the show?
Well, again, I would just tell anybody who's listening that, again, you don't have to be wealthy to be used. And just remember that your dreams are not dead. They're only asleep. As long as God has you here on this earth, there's something that you can do. You know, there's somebody who needs you. There's somebody who needs a word. There's somebody who needs a smile. There's somebody who needs a meal. Whatever your gift is. I mean, if you cook, if you sew, whatever it is, that's a gift that you use to serve with. You're not, you know, everybody's not a carpenter. Everybody's not a lawyer. Everybody's not a banker. Everyone is not a doctor. Everyone is not a teacher. Everybody's gift is given to them to serve. That's what you do. You serve. You serve whatever your gift is, you know, and when, you know, just use it, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what your service will bring you. Sometimes you got to go out of your comfort zone. You know, I can't imagine Christ was comfortable going up on that cross, you know, not trying to make light of it, but you have to go out of your comfort zone sometime to get what God has for you. And when the Spirit speaks to you, and tells you that you're not supposed to understand everything he says to you, because he says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But if he's talking to you and it's something that doesn't make sense to you, 99% of the time, that's what you should be doing, you know, because he says, you go, you know, pure religion before God and the Father is to visit the homeless, the widows and the orphans and those who are in prison. You know, that's pure religion. You know, pure religion is that you do the work that you were set here to do. You know, Christ didn't come here to rely on people to give him. He came to give, and he paid the ultimate price. He gave the ultimate thing, his life. You know, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to give my life. I don't have it in me to do that. I don't have it in me to give my life for somebody. I fall short for that. I'm not saying that I would never do it, but I wouldn't purposely come out here to give my life. That's what he came for, you know. But whatever my gift is that I have, I'm going to use it. And if it means, you know, if it means that I, if even if it means that I never receive anything for it, except Lord, the God saying to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. So whatever gift you have, use it. You know, and make sure you pray every day that God uses you where you are with what you have, that he grows you wherever you are planted. And if he sees fit to enlarge your territory and expand your tent, you know, ask for the wisdom through grace to be a good steward over whatever it is he gives you charge over. You know, and you will see the fruits of it. Bear the fruit. Bear fruit. You know, don't get cut down because you're not a fig tree.
Right.
Don't get cut down because you're not a fig tree. So that's what I have to say. And to God be the glory for that. And I'd like to say thank you to Tricia Sampson.
True, yes. Shout out to Miss Tricia. Thank you so
much.
Shout
out to Tricia.
And if someone wanted to contact you, how could they do that, Mr. J?
Well, they could do it through Facebook, or they can contact me through Poetry Emotion. By j@gmail.com, and or they can go to Reverb Nation, my page on Reverb Nation that's managed by Tricia Sampson, Rebirth for Love. And, you know, I have a store there that Tricia set up, and then they can contact me, and we can converse, and we can talk about anything. If they need a word of encouragement, I'll be glad to do that. I have no problem with that. Again, like I said, I was born to serve, and that's what I'm here for. So,
All right. And Mr. J, I want to appreciate you and Ms. Tricia, and I just ask for God's continued blessings over your ministry, over your family and your life, and once again, thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure, Frida. God bless you, and may he continue to cover you beneath his mighty wings, and may you continue to walk between the raindrops.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. J. Arrington. He is a psalmist, gospel artist, poet, writer. and all of that. And we thank him so much for coming on the show. And I want to shout out to Miss Tricia for allowing one of her artists to come and share with us the ministry that the Lord has blessed Mr. J with. And without further ado, you already know what I'm going to say. Be sure to continue to encourage, uplift your family and friends, and tell them about the blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Please be sure to continue to tell them to log on. And first of all, I want to say thank you to God and to my family and friends for tuning in to the Blog Talk Radio. I have several listeners who are on, and also I have listeners who are following via my blogs and some on my Facebook page. I appreciate you so much because the Lord is so good, and he's getting ready to do things and open up windows where we will not have room enough to receive. But we must understand the word of God, and we must share our gifts with the people. In addition to that, gospel artists, promoters, authors, writers, anyone with talent or gift from the Lord, please, Facebook, at Free to Love, that's A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to hear from you. Once again, that information is Facebook, at Free to Love, A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry, and I would love to interview you. Now then, we are getting closer to the blessing that God has given with the Reaping What You Sow event that is coming up on April 5th at the Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church, where the Dr. Kerry Berkeley is pastor. For those of you who live in Waco, Texas, if you received a Waco Tribune Herald paper, please look under the Saturday section of the church section, and you will see the Reaping What You Sow event that is posted and waiting on you to respond. In addition to that, we still have tickets, donation tickets, that is, that are out. And so, therefore, if you see any of these ladies and gentlemen who come up to you and ask you if you want to donate to the Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church Reaping What You Sow fundraiser, please tell them yes and give what the Lord has blessed you with. In addition to that, we would like to see you on April 5th, 2014 at the Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church. That's 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, 76707, I believe. It's very close to Baylor. It's right on the corner, and you will be in the right place if you come to that event. In addition to that, we welcome you to our Sunday morning service at the Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church with the Dr. Kerry Berkeley is pastor. You don't have to wait till April 5th, but I do want to see you April 5th. In addition to that, on next week, and I'm very excited and delighted, and it feels like I've ran a marathon, but God is good. In addition to that, I want to make sure that on next week, God's will, I will have one of my co-hosts who will interview me about some ministry things and some things that God has given me. They will interview me right here on blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. In addition to that, make sure that you are praying for 60 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, make sure you put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and then pray for yourself. In addition to that, I would just like to say once again thank you for all of those individuals who are helping to spread the word about the Reaping What You Sow event. As you know, that I keep reverting or referring back to the Reaping What You Sow event because God continues to place it on my mind. The Perfecting Your Walk book will also be available at the Reaping What You Sow event, but make sure that you focus on the Reaping What You Sow event for the church. In addition to that, I would love to have you come right across the hallway to the book signing event, where half of those proceeds will go to the St. Jude's ministry as well as the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. In addition to that, I would like to thank those individuals who invited me to come out and speak to their youth group and to their schools all over this, I would say, not the world, but some cities and states. Thank you so much. I look forward to that. I also want to thank the America's Got Anointing because I will be one of the vendors and I will be able to interview some of the gospel artists. I look so forward to that in addition. In addition to that, I thank God for sending some connections today, some more gospel artists and some more individuals who would like to come on the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry and who would also like to work with the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry and help to spread the message of God. In addition to that, I want you to make sure that you look out for some T-shirts, pencils, and things of that nature. What else do I have? I just want you to remember the Reaping What You Sow event on April 5th. Be sure to mark it on your calendars. If you're in Waco, Texas, be sure to look in the newspaper. You'll receive more information. In addition to that, I also have the event on Blog Talk Radio where where I am describing the event, and basically I'm telling you that it's a musical, and also it's a book signing event right after which we will have gospel artists, singers, fam camp from Waco, Texas. We'll have artists from Killeen, artists from Waco. We'll have choirs, Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church, St. Mary's Church. We'll have the youth department from Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church. Be sure to check them out. They're phenomenal and have some phenomenal leaders. In addition to that, you will have Dr. Love, yours truly, who will give a brief synopsis of the whole reaping what you sow aspect that God has given. I will not be up there long, so by the time you blink your eyes, I will be seated. Amen, because I would love to hear the ministry that is going forth on that day. So once again, gospel artists, promoters, anyone who is doing something positive for the community, be sure to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's FREDALOVE. Also, you can email me if you would like to come on the ministry at emoenya_love@yahoo.com. If you need a speaker about the Word of God or to speaking to youth or schools, or if you need someone to get up and serenade you with poetry, or to write about some different aspects, or to do anything concerning the work of the Lord, the Lord says that our Freedom Love is available. We are still praying, amen. We are still praying. We have at least 16 more days to continue to pray, and we're going to pray thereafter. But this is a 20-day breakthrough from the Lord, and the Lord wants to give us something. We thank God for the doors that are closed. We thank God for the doors that are open. We thank God for the doors that are almost open. So, therefore, we just thank God for any door. Amen. Because the door that's closed, amen, God closed it. You don't need it. The door that's open, amen, God opened it. He wants you to walk through it. Uh-huh. And the door that's halfway open, the Lord says that I am going to give this to you, but you need to pray a little bit harder. This, I want you to see what is inside the door, but you cannot walk into the door until I order your steps. So we thank God for any door. So you need to begin at this day and this time, the Lord, the revelation of God, and I'm not going to preach on this because I'm very excited and delighted. This day, we have to be sure that we are looking at the door that is halfway open, because the Lord wants to show us something that is in there, but he must order our steps. He is preparing. It's kind of like that scripture, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, because in my storehouse there are many mansions. If there it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. But the Lord is preparing in order to prepare, because we are so adamant about seeing everything. Amen. God said you're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight anyway, so you shouldn't really see the door that is halfway ajar. Amen. But since we need proof, all right, God says I'm going to open that door a little bit and let you see what's inside. If you continue to be obedient and continue to minister and continue to do the will of God, God said I will open up the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing where you won't have room enough to receive. And I want to say this to encourage someone today. Before I tell you about tomorrow, God's will. Amen. There are many times when we feel like we are a plant that does not receive enough sunlight, or we are a plant that is not growing. But there are times when God has ordained your life. And if you look at it and really analyze the situation that you're in, or where you're at, or what position you're at right now, you will reflect back and you will look to see that God has given you everything that you need. Amen. And he's given you most of the things that you want. So God is asking today, why are you complaining? He speaks about three doors, amen, that I'm going to speak about tomorrow. The first one, as I said before, and I gave it away, amen, is a closed door. God said that's a blessing because you don't need to go in there anyway. The second one is a door that is open. God says that he has ordered your steps to what? Enter. And the third door, he said, is halfway open. That's because the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. With that door, you're able to see all of the things that the Lord has promised you. Amen. That's why we are in this 20-day. It's not a fast, but it's a 20-day hardcore prayer. He said you are able to see that door. You are able to see the furniture inside the door. You are able to see the blessings inside the door. You are able to see an increase in your harvest. You are able to see an increase in your faith. You are able to see an increase in your perseverance. You are able to see an increase in your prayer life. You are able to see an increase in your life in general. And God said, in this door, and we're going to focus on this tomorrow, amen, because this is encouraging. He said, within this door, you see all of these things. He said, but before you enter this door, he said, I go to prepare that for you, whatever it is. But you must be steadfast. You must be unmovable and always abound, in the work of the Lord. Therefore, you know that your labor is not in vain. So if the Lord told you to minister, do it. If he told you to continue where you are, do it. Don't quit. Although the Lord will allow you to do so, don't quit. You keep moving because God gave you whatever you have now, and you should show some appreciation by continuing. Amen. So don't get too high and mighty when the Lord elevates us. We got to stay humble because we are trying to get through that door that is ajar so that we can get to the open door. But the Lord shows us things, and so he talks about the three doors, and we're going to talk about that concept on tomorrow. In addition to that, on Monday, we're going to go back on our kick with health, because health is very essential. Matter of fact, health is very important. It's not only important for the young, it's important for the middle age and the seniors as well. So therefore, we're going to do that, and we're going to get back on schedule. And I will schedule some interviews, as I've been saying, and I'm going to schedule some individuals for Sundays. But in the name of Jesus, continue to tell your folks about the Love, Live Jesus Up Ministry. We're adding the educational piece. As you witnessed today, I have Mr. Jay Arrington, who he said, oh, yeah, I've been a teacher before. And I have other teachers who are phenomenal. Amen. We have some in Waco, Texas. We have some in Bellmead, Texas. We have some all around the world who are phenomenal. And so, therefore, we're going to share some things on the Love, Live Jesus Up Ministry. But as I said before, I just want to encourage you that God is good. You have to be obedient to receive what is inside the door. And just because, and I'm going to say this again, because God is getting ready to open up some doors and expand some territory and increase some territory. And so people, they're going to be working for God. Amen. But God said, continue in what I have given you and continue to work as if you did not have, because if you are faithful over the if I did not have aspect, the if I did not have peace, then I will bless the I have peace, and I will bless it and give the increase. But we have to be faithful over what God has given us to work with. So therefore, the reason why individuals feel agitated, sometimes you get tired, sometimes you're just like, man, not again. Sometimes you feel as if individuals should be as you are, as sharp maybe as you are, as, I don't know. But God is saying you have to be faithful over the few things. And when he's talking about few things, he's not just talking about materialistic things. He's talking about people, too. If you're able to withstand, because everywhere you go, everyone's not saved. And so, therefore, you know, individuals have to, you have to be able to treat people right no matter what. And so God is saying that there are three doors. And thank God for the shut doors, the closed doors. You didn't need to walk into that anyway. Thank God for the open doors and the doors that are ajar, because God has to prove things to us, and he really shouldn't. You don't have, or we don't have enough faith yet to believe God. And so God has to show us. And he's just that type of God. He can do that. You know, Lil Flip used to say that, I can do that. Well, God can do that. So I want all of you to understand and recognize that we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to stay in the Word of God. We need to continue to be about the Father's business, as the Lord said. Because if we're about the Father's business, God will open up the doors. He will open up those things. And we will be merciful and thankful for the doors he did shut. And so instead of being upset because the Lord shut some doors for you, amen, thank the Lord for those shut doors, because that means you never should have been walking in them in the first place. And you never know what's behind it either. If it's closed, you don't know what's behind it, amen? So therefore, we have to continue to trust in God. And as I said before, every time I get on the air, and every time I'm able to speak about my Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I get happy in my soul. It feels like I'm about to run a marathon, because God is just that good in this old life of mine. And as long as I'm on top of the ground, I'm going to let my light shine. Because as I said before, you're never too young and you're never too old to spread the message of God. And I want to reiterate, as the Lord continues to nudge me and pull my coattail. The Reaping What You Sow event is April 5th. Ladies and gentlemen, I am doing this out of disobedience. I don't know what the Lord is bringing. I don't know what the Lord has in store. But what I do know is that there is a urgency to hear the word of God. April 5th is going to be a day to remember, because we are going to be in the Lord. And as I said before, it is at 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas. If you see those individuals, we have tickets. Please, please, please support the word of God, the church of God. And as the Lord has blessed you, give unto God. This is not for me. And even with the book signing, it's not for me. It's the ministry, but also it's for St. Jude's Hospital. And we thank God. We bless God for the Love of Jesus Up ministry. We ask for continued blessings for the hosts, Alfreda Emmanuel Love, that's L-O-V-E. Mm-hmm. And we just thank God for everything. And I encourage you to look at some of the latter shows, the ministries. I have different individuals I have interviewed. I encourage you to also look at the Reaping What You Sow event. And I encourage you to attend if you are able to do so, whether it means you fly in, whether it means you drive, walk, whatever you have to do, let's get there, okay? So once again, I thank you so much. May God bless you and may God keep you. Remember to pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your neighbor. And your neighbor is not just the person who lives next door to you, the person that you know, or the persons that you know. It's those individuals that you don't know, those individuals who are sick and in the hospital. There's a lot of bereavement going on. We pray for those families who have lost individuals. And we just continue to pray that we stay encouraged, we remain encouraged in the Lord. And as I said before, my heart is excited, my heart is happy, because I know what prayer can do, I know what God can do, I know what God is going to do, because I have faith in, I believe in God. So continue to watch the Alfreda Love page, or you can email me at emoney_love@yahoo.com, as we're going to start a newspaper flash. As you saw, I had the love news in a flash, because everything happens in a flash, even the coming of Christ. Jesus says he comes like a thief, amen, in the night. It's in a boom, flash. God doesn't take a long time. So even with this perfecting walk, God, and I'm speaking as the Lord has given it to me, even if, with this perfecting walk guide, God says everything is in a flash, because people have to hear the word of God. And then they have to run with the word and tell others about it, about how good God is. And when you begin to experience the goodness of God, it's something that you don't want to let go of God. And my philosophy is and always has been, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. But guess what? God's been blessing me, and I'm still holding on. Amen. I'm holding on to the promise of God. I'm holding on to the word of God. And the word of God is in my heart, and what is in my heart comes out of my mouth. I would like to say once again, I thank each and every listener who is on this particular radio ministry live. How y'all doing? And I just thank all the support of listening. I thank you. And I thank God, because we serve a good God. We serve a mighty and a powerful, powerful God. So I'm going to get off of air, because I have a lot of things to do with this book and family things and all that good stuff. So once again, if someone asks you what that big, gorgeous smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up, because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. And remember, on tomorrow, check God out. Don't check Alfreda out, amen, because I'm going to decrease Alfreda love to zero and increase God to greatness. Check the Love Lift Jesus ministry out as we speak about the three doors, amen, the door that is open, the door that is closed, and the door that is halfway open. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. This is your host, Alfreda Love. Good day, everybody.